Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Kate Kitchener, and welcome to this week's I Love Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, organs, border tests, fairies, and a sneaky surprise. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles and online at iomtoday.co.in, I'm joined by Newshound's Paul Hardman.
Hello.
Sam Turton.
Hello.
And social media master of mayhem, Grace Burns. Okay, so you might have noticed I am not Andy Dalrymple. Right. I know. I feel like this is when you're off work, so you get to watch This Morning, and you're like, oh, Philip Schofield's coming on soon. And then Eamon appears on screen. I feel like this is what you're getting this week.
Eamon and Ruth.
Yeah,
and
you're getting Eamon and Ruth instead of
Phil and Holly.
Yeah.
It's concerning that you think of yourself as the Eamon Holmes of this podcast.
I love Eamon Holmes. I just think he's really cute.
Do you remember when he used to host the Jet Set?
What was
so
that?
You'd win a holiday, but then like next week you go up against somebody, and if you won, you got to go on another week's holiday.
Oh, wow.
That sounds right up my street.
And it was like a quiz show, and if you beat the person in the final, you took their place on the next bit of the holiday, and they had to come home and you went out.
Is it the same holiday?
Or do they go always reliving the same holiday?
So it was like, New York, and then it'd be like Nicaragua, and then it'd be like Hong Kong. It'd be like
why holidays. Isn't that show still a thing?
How many guests do you get to go on holiday with?
I think it was just like you and one other person.
Okay. Yeah. Let's bring it back.
Bring it back.
As the Eamon Holmes of this podcast, I'll start my campaign.
Okay.
So how's everyone's week been? Sam, busy week?
I'm now a bit disappointed that I'm not going to win a holiday out of this, but yeah.
Where would we go right now?
Winner, all expenses paid, no expenses paid. Trip to Peel.
Sunset
so,
City.
So anyway, yeah, what sort of week's it been? It's been a tiring week, isn't it? You know, we've had Sleepy Joe versus Big Donnie. It's still going on. It's longer than The Irishman at this point. That's the only comparison I can make to how this is going, and that's how I feel the week has been. It's just been a tiring week.
Yeah, I was pretty wrecked the other day. I was up until 4 a.m. with a bunch of my American friends who were very drunk in a Zoom conference. Nice. And I kept telling them to pace themselves, but they just wouldn't. And I'm glad I gave up 4 a.m. and gave up waiting to see if there was going to be any kind of conclusive result, because it is still going on.
Yeah, at the time of recording, Sam said about an hour ago, maybe in 24 hours we will have a clear idea.
I think I said that last night as well, though.
Yeah.
I think at the minute it's brilliant, because if you go on BBC, CNN and Fox and Sky, you get four different figures at the minute, which sort of says where we're at.
Okay, so let's begin with the Manx news this week.
Just before we go, though, I just want to say I really hope President Kanye West succeeds in his mission, because he's the only person who could unite the country at this stage.
Did you see his tweet? And he was like, I'm so glad to be voting for the only person I trust, me. I was like, that's such a Kanye tweet.
Be honest, how much better would Kanye West being president of America just make everything?
My old college roommate actually wrote Kanye West in on his ballot paper, and I was extremely proud of him.
Wow.
I thought it showed a lot of integrity not to want to be choosing between either one of those. So.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. Border testing, Sam?
Yeah, well, border testing, what can we say about this? So, the figure that's been bandied about on the idea of mandatory testing of anyone coming into the island is 7%. Which is what the DHSC says, and Minister Ashi, MBE, of course, says would be the level of positive tests that we would be picking up if we test everyone at the border. However, this week the Chamber of Commerce has done some research, and they found that 87% of their business contacts would like to see mandatory testing on arrival anyway. So the business world is looking at business decisions, and they want that. They're basically saying you have to have some level of risk. We can't just live in this bubble forever. Mm-hmm. There has to be some level of risk. The government's thing is that it will just... They seem to have a sin the government of saying that it will lead to COVID getting out in the island and all this again, which I don't really follow, because they're not saying that if it's negative on the arrival, you get let out. They're saying that if you did it on arrival, day, I think it's day 3, day 5, day 7, or it might have been 3 and 7 or 4 and 7, but at least 3 clear tests over a week, then let people out, as opposed to what's happening now. They say this could stifle business moving forward, which is interesting. However, there's about 70% of the people they surveyed also wanted mandatory testing on day 14 before you get released into society. That sounds a bit like you've been in prison. But, you know, so that's quite weird because you've got the Chamber of Commerce quite often is closely aligned to government. And I think what we're starting to see here is that, and this has been creeping into MHKs as well, there's more and more people questioning what the government are saying. Of course, we are, what, 6 days, 7 days away from the infamous resignation that happened last week with Dr. Rachel Glover.
Of course, yeah.
So I think there's a lot more people openly questioning what the government are telling them now, which, of course, we're in a different situation to where we were 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So it's not completely unusual that people be asking questions. It's just where this goes, because I can't see the government budging and I can't see backbench MHKs having the spine to do anything about it.
Is this being modelled after a particular country's system they've already got?
Or... Well, Jersey's got it, and they've got more COVID than the other Crown dependencies, being ourselves and Guernsey. Guernsey has introduced it and caught 3 cases in the first 2 days.
Yeah.
And has subsequently caught other cases. So there's an argument for it. I mean, I think the problem with testing is that when we have a very clear policy, people could stick to it. You know, it was like, you come in, you could get a test on 7 days, you have to pay for it, which I think was wrong, and then you get to 14 days. But now we've got this sort of weird thing where you could get tested here and you could get tested there, and key workers, whether they've come over to work in the hospital on the MRI machine, or they've come to do some welding, whatever it is, they can get out for different things, but then they have to, there's a lot more muddled to this than there was, and I think that's part of the problem now. But it's just interesting to see the Chamber of Commerce being the ones to come out and sort of go against the grain on this a little bit and challenge the government's sort of... basically challenge the government's thinking.
Well, there's quite a few strong opinions in this office about borders, what we think should happen or shouldn't happen. Is this likely to be introduced at all?
No, not at all. I can't see it. I think the problem is that the government and various other people have been hyped up to COVID so much that there is a problem with it. And I'm not a denier of COVID. I'm just saying that, you know, if you look at the statistics, it isn't going to wipe out all of humanity. And you do have to have an element of risk in society. I'm agreeing with the Chamber of Commerce. That's how mad things have got on this. That I think that we do have to start. What is the out here? You know, what is our out?
Yeah, with no sign of a vaccine coming up anytime soon, business has to resume.
Well, exactly. And I think that's... I think what a lot of people are realising and getting frustrated with is that the government don't seem to be making any, like, progressive steps forward. They're like, oh, well, the only option is to lock us down again. But it's like, that's not... Say there's not a vaccine for the next 2 years, it's just not viable.
It's also very black and white of who is considered family, who gets to visit, who is considered registered on the Isle of Man.
Well, you know, what we said it last... You know, Andy was saying... Hi, Andy. Andy was saying that when he spoke to people who said there was a lot of students come back onto the island last night. We know from people in the office there's more coming in today.
Yeah.
We asked a week ago for guidance on what was happening with students. We haven't got that. You know, I just think that this is where the problem is now. There are more holes appearing left, right and centre of what people are wanting to know and what the government are saying with this once a week show that they have. And I just think that this is an example of why not necessarily what they're saying is translating into what people are wanting anymore. Some people want the borders shut completely. They want everybody kept out. Which, again, you know, if we go back to this, we'll go back to the days right at the start of lockdown when we had yelling matches in the House of Keys over this sort of stuff. You remember Bill Shimmons saying it wasn't brave to lock your own people out of their country.
Mm.
I can't see us going back to that, but if we're not looking to the next step, how long do you realistically keep a country on this level 4 thing?
Like treading water at the moment.
Essentially, yeah.
What paper was that in, Sam?
I think it was in the Indy. I didn't write the Indy. I was off for 2 days.
Okay.
I think it was in the Indy. It's in the Indy. It's on page 4.
So if you would like to read more about the border testing, you can check it out in the Manx Independent, which is available as a digital edition from iomtoday.co.im. Click on digital editions and then select the, I believe it's called a thumbnail, of the Manx Independent, and that will take you through to buy it for a bargain price of £1.
Thumbnail.
It's a picture. It's a picture, basically.
Oh, okay.
But I believe technical term, thumbnail.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Paul, organ donors.
Yes, the headline in our last courier was about the progress of this organ donation bill, which would make the organ donation system a opt-out system as opposed to opt-in. So that would basically bring us in line with the rest of the UK, and it would mean that If you're over 18, you would be assumed to be an organ donor unless you've gone out of your way to specify that you don't want to be. And that would be done via the UK NHS database, which they'd let us use. The family would still be consulted over it, but I think the arguments of Martin Perkins, who's the MHK from Garth, he's the one that's proposed it. He said it would simply up the amounts of organ transplants in the system because there's quite a low number of them as it is. Yeah. And we actually put it to the public in our Word of the Street segment, and in our grand sample of 6 people, we found unanimous support for it. So,
other than for, I guess, religious reasons or very specific reasons of not wanting to donate an organ, I can't imagine I would want to opt out. I don't know if my organs would ever be useful.
Full of wine,
yeah.
So, you know, as a former heavy smoker who spent 4 years at uni, that's my lungs, my kidneys, my liver, not in the best shape.
Well, I tried to go without wine this week just to see if my... because I've got a Fitbit and I just wanted to check my heart rate. It's gone up without wine. I think the wine decreased the stress, which decreased the heart rate, which is now through the roof.
Wine is a good thing.
It's a balancing act, yeah.
But anyway, you shouldn't drink the wine because we need to donate our organs. Does this mean it would necessarily go for organ donation or be used for medical purposes?
No, it's an organ donation.
So it wouldn't be used for research?
No, I don't think it's about donating your body to science, no. I think it's being by default.
Do people still do that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Have money for it. Or is that
what good is it to you?
Well, I mean, you've got 2 kidneys, Sam.
I don't need 2.
You do to visit a lot of, well, not that we can travel, but a lot of countries, especially without clean water, they do specify you need 2 working kidneys to enter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that just because when you wake up in a hotel room bath full of ice, you've got a good chance of getting out of there?
Yes. I don't think it is for that reason. But
a dark turn.
Yeah. But okay, yeah, but yeah, loads of people still donate for science, don't they?
It's for the first year medical students. That's one of the main things for them.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. It's quite weird, actually. I've had a few friends with medical students, and they said some of the unis have, like, events where you can go and meet the families of the people that were, you know, in the cadaver lab in first year. And it's all anonymised, but I think that would be quite a sit-down, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? It'd be like, how'd he get the scar on his left shoulder? What happened there? Such times.
If you want to read more about the organ donor bill, that is available in the...
That was the headline in last week's Courier.
And all of the couriers are available online from iomstate.co.im. Courier thumbnail this time.
Yeah.
And you can actually go back to about 2016.
Yeah, they go back a while.
Yeah, so if you wanted to follow this bill from its very beginning... You could do a lot of deep research there.
I could save you some time. I did it about 18 months ago when Martin Perkins launched it.
There you go.
But you can go back. The interview that was on with, I should know this, the dear lady whose son it was, who was the organ donor. If you go back, there's a great interview of her, actually, if you go back in the papers.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Grace, you are... You are here because we needed something that wasn't the sports story.
We needed to fill a space and you've dragged me in. No, I'm joking.
But this is what we would usually be doing from 5 to 5.30 every single day.
Yeah.
When we're still at work.
Still at work. Nobody really does any... Well...
The phones are ringing less and less. It's winding down
a bit.
It's
quiet. Nobody's really doing much.
Sam's left editorial and wandered over to our side of the room.
And it's time for a Would You Rather. Now, I asked this one this morning, Kate, but you weren't in the editorial meeting, so nobody really gave me a definite answer. So it was a Would You Rather.
Is this going to be appropriate, or is it going to be like the ones you asked?
No, this one is podcast appropriate. Okay. Would you rather get a tattoo of Howie or Ashy?
I return to my previous question from this morning.
Ashy MBE.
Where?
MBA. I said anywhere visible. So you have to be... So in your attire now, so you've got a shirt and trousers on, but it's a short... You'd have to be able to
forearm.
See it.
Good forearm.
Yes.
Yeah, so my dad's forearm. Got a couple of tattoos down there, so...
Yeah, maybe just there on your forearm.
Oh, I've got one. Not of Ashy or Howie, but I have visible... Like, 2 visible tattoos.
Yeah.
What if I got, like... Because they always stand that way around. So what if I got, like, Howie down this one... and Ashy down this one behind their podiums.
So it's but not which even... one would you rather have, though?
So that's not would you rather, that's I would that's desperately I would want both tattoos.
I'd say Harry, but I'd get him all the way down my arm behind his podium.
All right, okay, fair enough.
That'd be quite cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I would like you to have We Cannot Be Complacent underneath that.
Oh, just David Ashy down this side with baby steps.
Or you could have his face on a baby taking but like taking baby steps, so it's like two in one.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Or you could have, going back a few weeks to our community kindness event, you could have Howie on a tandem bicycle.
Oh, with Dr. Tilbury.
With Dr. Tilbury on your arm. Expert.
We never really played that clip, did we?
No, we didn't.
We'll put that up.
Yeah, we should. We need to share that. Paul, would you rather?
I think I'd have to go with a single Howard Quayle on the forehead. And
well, on your forehead? That's a bold
unprecedented
statement.
Times.
Nice.
And that kind of only God will judge me font, you know?
You're going to go big or go home. I like
I
it.
Love it.
You're going to commit. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to get it done properly.
What about you?
I think I'd rather... Yeah, I'd say Ashy.
Ashy MBA.
Yeah.
See, because you always wear long sleeve shirts or like jumpers as well, so you'd have to get it on your like face.
Maybe a nice neck tattoo.
Oh, neck tattoo.
I would quite like a little small Howard. In my head, one is like the angel and one is like the devil on your shoulder. So I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know which one's which.
I'd get like someone's head on my earlobe, so it's like a permanent earring, but on their face.
That's creepy as hell.
And then I could have one on each.
I have technically filled up quite a lot of my visible tattoo slots other than on my face. So what about if I just got some sort of knuckle tattoos?
Andy takes 1 week off.
He'll come back to four heavily tattooed podcasters.
Just yeah. Sleeves full of MHKs. That's Jeffrey Boot. That's Ben Cregine. This little one up here, that's Marlene Masker, MLC.
Show the back and it's just David Cretney on the decks.
Minister for Fun in the cave.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
So, this week we are going back in time to the 128th year of publication for Mona's Herald. So, this is back on Tuesday, the 8th of November, 1960.
What a throwback.
You remember it well. Okay, so what has caught your eye this week, Sam?
Well, it's the book that shocked me. As you look on the Eye Museum, there is no topic which covers... the front pages in November 1960, quite like Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Oh.
So, this is quite... I've seen a TV series of this. It's not that scandalous, but apparently for the times it was. All sorts of class and there's things involving it.
I did see... there was a recent remake starring King of the North.
Yeah,
what was his name?
Jason Manford.
No, what's
Paddy McGuinness?
Not Rob Stark.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
They had him in it.
Rob Stark.
I guess he was the lover. He was the one from The Red Wedding.
Oh, right. Yeah, got you.
Yeah.
Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Sean Bean. Sean Bean.
Oh, got you. Right. So anyway, so Lady Chatterley's Lover, they're discussing it in the House of Keys. Because what could be better than 24 grown men sat around discussing... whether a book is too scandalous to be published on the shelves.
It does sound like a bit of a ladies' book club here.
Yeah. So basically they're talking about whether the decision of the courts in the UK, which permitted the selling of the book, would have merit in the island. This is why I love the stuff of where, like, Mr. Colborne, who was... where was he from? He was a member of the Keysborough Castletown. Mr. Colborne has said that while the book, admittedly written by a distinguished author, might have some literary merit, he had been shocked by certain passages. He was of the firm opinion that these passages were not suitable to be read by young children, especially young girls, stating that he had four young granddaughters and he certainly would not like them to read the book. And it is quote of, "I would not like to see these books openly displayed for sale on the counters and in the windows of shops in the Isle of Man. I agree entirely with the opinions expressed by the Archbishop of Canterbury."
God.
Could you imagine the MHKs just like discussing this about like 50 Shades of Grey? This is not appropriate for the people of the Isle of Man.
I mean, bear in mind, we did spend a lot of time last summer arguing about a TV series filmed in the prison here. I know it's not on the same level, but I'm just saying, you know, there was a lot of...
There was a lot less bondage in that for Mon.
There's a lot more handcuffs.
Oh, well.
It's in the prison, calm down. This is a family show. So that's that. That was the big thing for me, and there was something about modernising houses for grants, which was nowhere near as funny.
Wow. My favourite bit is the Manx captains in Seafarer's Service.
It's because of the giant anchor, isn't it?
But it's the fact that the one who's got to hold the anchor looks absolutely buzzing with himself. And the other three men are like, oh, I want to hold it. And they all look absolutely raging that they're not holding the anchor. And fact, he's like,
that one on the left to him, you can see he's clenching his fist in anger.
He is.
When you say the one who gets to hold the anchor, you mean Reverend Harry Warren.
Well, yeah. Good old Rev.
He is buzzing. The other three are like, great.
They're all fuming. They wanted to hold it. Well, yeah, you would be fuming. They're all captains, and he's a reverend. I'd be raging as well. Like, why is he holding it? Should be my job.
We should get you in more.
I was very excited to see that the cast for the big musical show had been chosen, and the show was the version of Brigadoon, which would be performed at the Gaiety Theatre on Saturday, 25th of February. I'm guessing... 1961.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't know Brigadoon.
I have no idea what Brigadoon is.
Is it Manx?
No, I think it's sounds. I think it's quite famous. But it will be popular with Manx audiences owing to the abundance of good and well-known music.
Wow. Well, it was popping in the 60s. Brigadoon.
Let's bring it back for next year.
Let's bring it back.
2020 reboot, huh?
Yeah.
Four people production of Brigadoon.
we'll Google what it is.
I mean, there's 12 people or so listed there, so we have to do three roles each.
Oh, we're a third of the way there, yeah. Well, yeah. Right. We're all multitaskers.
If we get Andy in, we're fine. And we could bring, like, Jess back for the week. So we've got half the cast.
Yeah.
So we'd be fine. Get Duncan involved.
Is he a big fan of business, Editor Duncan? Is he a big fan of the musicals?
I imagine he would be. He looks like a man who would enjoy a musical.
I reckon... He probably does love a bit of, like, a Disney musical. I bet he's a big Frozen fan.
Well, what's caught your eye?
I was just looking at this alternative plans for royal visit, which is saying when they flow in the Princess Alexandra for a royal visit, if the weather was bad in Ron's way, they could just shoot on up to Jerby and land at the airfield there. And I was just thinking... That kind of fits in what people are always saying, that maybe they shouldn't have put the airport in Castletown. Because remember when I was interviewing the people at the Met Office, they were saying like, oh yes, we've gotten very good at predicting all the low-lying cloud around the airport, and it's like, well, maybe we should put it somewhere where there isn't any cloud to begin with. And it seems like the north might have been a better spot, but yeah, that would be quite nice if the weather's bad down at Rollsway, just go to the alternative option, which... I think it was still an RAF base back then, Jerby, and now it's the National Go-Karting Hub.
And home of the prison?
I was going to say, that's an interesting way to phrase it. I forgot about the go-kart.
The Jerberg ring.
I forgot about it.
That's what they use the actual airfield for, yeah.
I knew it was that. I never heard it called that. Yeah. That's class. Forgot about the go-kart. Does he mean the prison? The bunch of Mario Kart characters that are stuck up in there.
It's a bit of an ambitious name for a little tiny track like that, based on the biggest racetrack in the world, but, you know.
I don't know, I quite like it. Jürgen.
It's quite good.
So, as usual, I haven't read the stories, I've just looked at pictures and adverts. Nice. So, this week we've got no Sefton Hotel in top left corner.
Ooh.
We've got Deans of Regent Street, which is... the island's leading hairdressers.
Ooh.
And then we've got some ladies' suede jackets.
Mm.
And we have...
With fleecy lining.
Well, and very colour. On trend this season.
Very.
And then one that did catch my eye was this really scary van. This delivery van, which does look quite similar to the distribution van.
Oh, the kidnapping van down the bottom. I don't mean ours is the kidnapping van.
the man on the advert.
That is a kidnapper's van.
Yeah, it's, they've reduced it in price because it looks so menacing.
Yeah, it does look like the back door's open and there's just the door, the jaws to hell.
Yeah. Someone offering you sweets from inside.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Finally, heading. We're getting so close to the end of this, guys, and I, for one, cannot wait
for it to
be over. This is very much how Eamon presents this morning as well. So I was on Culture Vanin today, and their Facebook page has this story up with the headline, "Do you know about the fairies kidnapping a woman?" So I had
They have that van?
Imagine.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're driving around in that van. But So I wanted to read more about this kidnapping. So this actually comes from Sophia Morrison's Manx Fairy Tales, which is from 1911. So I'm paraphrasing this as it was like quite, you know, ye olde language. So just bear in mind. So once upon a time, there was a farmer of Ballalice. He married a beautiful wife and they were madly in love. So we know now, starts well, probably will not end well. The beautiful wife disappeared. Some reported that she is dead. And others said her disappearance was the work of the little people.
She ran away to have an affair.
With the little people.
Yeah.
It's very Snow White.
It is.
Okay, so Ballalice, the farmer, well, the whole area, looked everywhere for her. And he said, from the point of her to the calf, but she was not to be found. So, naturally, the farmer went on to marry again. But this wife was not as beautiful. But she had a good amount of cash money.
Well.
So, swings and roundabouts. Nice. So, soon after the second marriage, the farmer's out one night and the first wife appears to him and says she's been taken away by the little people, so someone had guessed correctly, and that the farmer could set her free if he followed her instructions down to the very last detail. So, she told him, "We will be riding through the barn at midnight on Friday. In one door, out the other. I'll be on horseback. What you need to do is sweep the barn clean. There cannot be any strand of straw anywhere on that floor. Then you'll be able to grab hold of the reins of the horse, hold it, and I will be free." So, desperate to get the beautiful wife back, he swept the barn. It was immaculate. He'd done the best job. It was like not one speck of dirt could be found anywhere. So, midnight came, and there came the sound of music. So, we know the little people are coming if the music started. They arrived, group of horses being ridden by little people wearing green jackets and red hats.
Were they elves?
So
is it Christmas?
It is sounding quite like festive, isn't it?
She said that to me this morning. I had a lovely fetching green jumper on. And Grace goes, "You look like an elf. She'd wear a hat."
You looked really festive,
yeah.
Though.
It was like a very festive green. That's why I said
and
it.
And it's like a good wool as
it
well.
It was nice.
Yeah. I'm too tall to be an elf. Oh, Buddy, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Buddy the elf.
Maybe not. Sorry, quite.
Like one of the most famous elves of all time
was
your
true.
Height. Okay. So they come in their clashing gear. And the last horse appeared. The farmer's wife, she sat there like she said she would be. She's looking just as young as the day she disappeared.
Wow.
So maybe you don't age around fairies, which that's nice to know. So he grabbed the rein, but the horse didn't stop. And the wife was being carried away. And as she was approaching the door, she shouted back to her husband, "There's been a straw put under the bushel, so you cannot hold me and I'll be gone forever now." So what turned out? Wife number two had overheard
sabotage.
This chat. And not as beautiful wife, was like, no, not losing my husband. So she'd hidden it out of sight. And the young beautiful wife was never heard of again.
At least he had the money, though.
This sounds like a really elaborate plot that would end up on Crime Watch.
Have you ever watched the film Darby O'Gill and the Little People?
Someone was talking to me about it last night.
It's great, honestly. Because every time you said little people, that's all I could think of. And the little people in that are hilarious. So if I was taken away by those little people, sign me up. Because they were a great crack.
Are they in similar outfits?
Yeah.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
So it's an eyeshadow. So maybe our fairies might be very, very similar. I'm just Googling it now. Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Yeah.
A fantasy film. Sean Connery's in it. That's why I was talking about it last night. Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Would recommend if you haven't seen it.
Well,
right.
There we go. Film recommendation from Grace for the weekend. We've had you recommending the Mel Gibson version of Mutiny on the Bounty. Now we've got Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
If you want a Sean Connery film, watch The Rock. It's him and Nicolas Cage, and it's directed by Michael Bay. It's all levels of terrible. It's great.
Already hearing the name Michael Bay, I'm like, just a lot of money throwing at a lot of loud noises. I liked Entrapment. Whilst we're down the Sean Connery route.
Whilst we're here, throwing
90s classic
in there.
With Sean Connery and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Mm. When was this Elf film you're talking about? Sean Connery.
When was it? It was back in the day.
1959.
Oh, there you go.
Anyway, to wrap things up here, we've lost Sam. He's gone to do the conference. So he has gone off to do work, not just tired of our Sean Connery chat. Paul, what have you got coming up in the newspapers next week?
We've got this thing about the potential 20-mile-per-hour zone to be brought in next year in Castletown, among other traffic-calming measures. And the chair of the commissioners, David Parnell, said they're totally in support of it. And simply because the town is so small and people lack awareness when they drive through it.
Yeah, yeah. And Grace, anything coming up in your... Because as well as doing all of our social media here on all social media platforms, you will have seen a lot of Grace's graphic work in our home supplement, our Behind the Business supplement, most supplements that come out. So anything you're working on at the moment?
We've got all the awards stuff to get. Well, the awards, Awards for Excellence award show each year. The entries are open for that now. So if anyone wants to enter, the entry forms are... It's a different website to our normal one. If you just type in Awards for Excellence, Isle of Man, it'll come up. And you can download all the entry forms from there if anybody wants to get in with that. There's 16 different categories, so there'll be one that suits. So yeah, so it's just pushing that, really.
Excellent. And like I said, if you want to read any of this week's stories, our digital editions are available from iomtoday.co.im. If you want to contact us on social media, please say nice things. Andy will be back next week. Philip Schofield returns, so don't worry about that. But you can contact us on Instagram and Twitter with the handle at IOM News Podcast. Or if you have been on holiday or you are living in another country and you do want to keep in touch with us via post, which we love, and no one posts us anything anymore because no one's travelling. No. You can write to us at IOM News Podcast, IOM Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, IM1 5ED.
Bye for now.